Good morning, church. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
After hearing and listening to that beautiful song that was just sung, I just thought I could stay here and not go home again. I want to take this opportunity to bring greetings to every one of you from Sierra Leone. We have been here for the last 2 days. And we have been meeting the Sierra Leone Partners Conference, and we had about 80 people from across the U.S. who are working with us in Sierra Leone, and all of them came for us to discuss how best we can do effective ministry with the people in Sierra Leone. I came together with 5 of my lead staff persons in Sierra Leone who are working in different ministries, different projects. And it has been a wonderful experience. And one of those wonderful experiences has been, for me particularly, is eating 3 times a day. Sumptuous meal. And even more so, eating rice. So I was so much more at home. Because for those of you who have been to Sierra Leone, it doesn't matter what you eat in the day. If you've not eaten rice, you've not eaten anything. And so we are fed, and I want to thank you for your hospitality and to thank you, Paddy, for inviting me to share your pulpit with you this morning. As for some of you who've not been to Sierra Leone, it's just a very small country. I hear my friends from Shenyang, you're saying you have a population of 6 million in a small city. That's exactly the population of Sierra Leone, 6 million people. And so we are like you, so we know exactly what you do. So we want to welcome you here in this church today. It's been a beautiful experience for all of us. And we want to thank you for all that you have been doing and continue to do with us in Sierra Leone. We had 10 years of war, and when every other partner left, Operation Classroom was in Sierra Leone. When Ebola broke out, Operation Classroom raised money and sent to Sierra Leone at a time when schools were closed and teachers could not have their salaries. You raised money through Operation Classroom, and we were able to pay salaries of all our teachers throughout the period of Ebola. We want to thank you for doing that, and we continue to pray and that we might continue to work together. This morning, I want to spend a few moments to just share with you a little bit of what I shared, you know, with our partners at the Partners Conference. And the text is coming from Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verses 35 to 41. But I will be going a little beyond that text. One evening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go on the other side." They left the crowd behind and took Jesus in the boat with them. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was stand sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke up him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we perish?" Jesus woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And so he turned to his disciples and said, "Why are you so afraid? Don't you have faith?" Because the disciples were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Friends, I want to spend a few moments to talk on the theme, on the other side. But let me begin by asking you this question. What if you came to church this morning and the Reverend Paddy stands out there and says to every one of you, let us go out of this church? There has not been any prayer notice on the notice board to tell you that today, Sunday, you will be going out. No telephone call to inform you. And you just came and she says to you, let us go out. The most rational thing that some of you will be wanting to say is, where? And why? And how? But even more so, if she tells you we're going to cross with a boat. Well, Pastor, have you read the weather forecast for today? What's the temperature? And you begin to ask so many questions. But the good thing about Jesus' disciples is that they so trusted this leader that whenever he told them to do anything, they will just obey. Even though they were not ready on this particular day, Jesus said to them, friends, we got to go. And they all said, let us go. And they went into the boat. And as soon as they were almost midway in the high seas, St. Mark says that, let me use his words, he says, a furious squall came over them. So that their boat was nearly swamped, turned over. And so they were terrified. And so they turned to Jesus, look, you know, Jesus, you told us to come, we're not going. And at this time, Jesus was just sleeping. He was sleeping on a cushion, comfortably, oblivious of what was happening. And so they said, look, Jesus, you know, yesterday we were talking about a 50-50 mission. Say, Jesus, we're going to share this experience 50-50. You got to wake up. And Jesus woke up and calmed the storm. What a beautiful picture of the one who calls us and asks us to join him in mission. What a beautiful assurance that in spite of the troubles and the trials that may be there ahead of us, he is there with us and he will always take control of situations. But perhaps there are many reasons why sometimes some of us will never want to go on the other side. We are afraid to venture on the other side because we fear the unknown. And I tell you, if those disciples, especially Peter as we know him, had known that there was going to be a squall, Peter may have told Jesus, you go, but I'm not going. Fear of the unknown, leaving our comfort zones, our friends and families, our status quo and our culture, things that we have been accustomed to. Fear of troubles that we may go through or experience. We don't want to go to the other side because we are afraid of coming into contact with people who are not like us. Refugees. We don't want to have anything to do with them. They are coming to occupy our space. Racism, xenophobia, hostile people, other social challenges. We are afraid of being confronted with issues that we are never prepared to handle or deal with. We better stay in our comfort zone. And we become surrounded by the I, myself and me. We are afraid of potential risks. No electricity. And I was saying this morning, here in this country, I was saying with Paddy and some other friend that I stay with, the bathroom is dark, but you just open the door and there's light. Automatic. You don't even need to switch, to touch a switch on the wall. 24-hour electricity. And you wouldn't want to leave that behind and go to a place that is totally dark, that you're not even sure throughout the night whether you will have electricity. Sometimes there is also the risk of even having drinking water. Thank God, at least for now, there is drinking water. But even more so, you're afraid because where you're going, there is no Starbucks. No ice cream. And besides, there will be diseases like malaria. You are afraid of contracting malaria and typhoid, and in our days, Ebola. These are some of the turbulences on the high seas of mission, on the high seas of the other side, boisterous waves that go beyond our understanding and capacity to handle. But I have learned over the years, friends, that when we do God's mission in God's own way, He is not only going to provide the resources for that mission, but He will also provide the protection that we need. And that's one thing I have learned, that we are never alone in that boat. Because He who sends us is the master of the universe, is the master of nature. And even before you go forth, the Bible says He knows already what is there. And because He has assured us that it is never His wish that we perish, but how He wished that every one of us prosper, He stays with us. And so why do we fear? Because God is the promise fulfilling God. That's what He has said, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so no matter what happens in our lives, Christ is there to calm the storms in our lives. But it goes beyond calming the storms of life. St. Mark goes further to say, immediately these disciples and Jesus Christ crossed over on the other side, then the trouble even began. He says they were met by a demon-possessed man. And I like the way St. Mark describes this man. Vivid description. And as usual with Mark, his very brief brevity is part of his nature. And he compacts this big story, long story, into very few words. He said, Jesus asked the man, what is your name? That's the first thing Jesus asked. The good thing, my friends, is when we confront Christ, He is not going to ask about us, about our past. Praise the Lord for that. Somebody say amen to that. He's not concerned about our past. He's concerned about our present, about our situation, and about our future. And so He says, what is your name? What's your identity? And the man replied, my name is Legion. But honestly, that was not the name of that young man. That was not his name. We have several of such persons in the Bible. We have people like blind Bartimaeus, the woman with the issue of blood, the bent over woman. These we are not their real names, but this is the world in which we live today. People are named and identified according to their circumstances. The prisoner, that's not the name. The harlot, the prostitute. Those are not the names, but we give them those names so that we kind of stand here and say, we are better. We're better than them. But worst of all, St. Mark says that this man perpetually lived in tombs. And he was perpetually bound in chains. His feet and his hands were always tied. And day by day and day and night, he was crying for help. But nobody listened. In fact, the more he tried to seek for help, the more the community started to bind him so that he could not move. Friends, these are the people on the other side that Christ has called us to be in solidarity with. They cried day and night, but no one could hear them. And in Matthew 25, Jesus calls them the least of these, my other brothers and sisters. What a beautiful thing the world would be if we look at the beggar on the street and say, that is Jesus' other brother. That's God's other child. And if I am God's child, then he is my brother. I need to stretch out my hand to lift him up. No one could touch Legion, but Jesus did. He came near him when people will run away from him. He touched him when people will have nothing, rather have nothing to do with him. He gave him attention. He spoke with him. But even more so, Jesus addressed his need. He healed him. Friends, on the other side of our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our countries far away, there are people who are possessed by demons of inequality and demons of injustice. There are people who are possessed by demons of war, of natural disasters, illiteracy, and bad governance. Their lives have been battered, and they wander about as though they were mere strangers on this planet. And they cry day and night, and people just pass by on the other side. Their hands and feet have been bound in chains by the evil forces and systems in our world to the extent that they cannot even do anything to save themselves. They live perpetually in the tombs of hopelessness and rejection and abandonment. Friends, these are the people on the other side of our lives. They are the ones that Jesus is calling the church to go to. Word to some people going into faraway mission fields is a far, far, far distance. It is too far. I can't go there. But Jesus did anyway. It was so far from heaven to earth. But he came. Friends, John Wesley conceived the Methodist Church as a movement. And that is why from time to time, Jesus will say, let us go. Let us go. We must be on the go. We are a people in a journey that really never ends. In Matthew 25, there is this picture, story of the goat and the sheep. We call it the parable of the great judgment. It is a picture of a great surprise, more than judgment. It is not about who is up or who is down. And it is not about who is right or who is wrong. It's not even about sheep and goat. Because after all, sheep and goat are one of God's most pleasant animals. But it is about the miracle of life in God, the miracle of seeing Christ in one and another, irrespective of who they are and where they come from, irrespective of their color, of their shade, or their creed, or their race. You must be able to wake up in the morning and look at your friend and see Jesus in his or her face. It is the miracle of abundant life for all who receive and for all who give. To go over on the other side is about sharing God's abundant resources so that everyone is given a place to be a partaker of God's grace. Because Jesus says, I have come that they may have life in abundance. Going over to the other side is about giving. We give as a church because giving strengthens and enlivens our own very souls. When you give, it's so amazing that the joy, the kind of joy it brings to you. Generous giving, my friends, is a sign of a vital congregation. One of those words that United Methodists are now frequently using. We need to have vital congregations. A vital congregation is a church where the members are generous givers. And when we give, my friends, miracles and wonders, great soul saving and life transforming ministries happen when members adopt the gift of giving. Going on the other side is part of God's plan for the church. The church flourishes when its members have a big heart to give. Giving unites the church and keeps its members together. It was the act of generous giving that made the early church to flourish, because the Bible says those who had brought and shared with those who do not. And we find this even in our world today. It has come to the point today when the church has become so encapsulated within the four walls of the building, we are afraid to go out. One of my favorite theologians, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, had this to say, and I quote, he says, "The church is the church when it lives its life for others. We are never a church if we just concern about ourselves, but when we reach out to others, then we become the church." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, what? That he gave." What if God never gave Jesus Christ? I wonder what will have happened to us. Friends, we live in a world where the cries of the needy and the lost call us to attention day by day. We cannot, like the priest and the leper in the parable of the Good Samaritan, afford to ignore their cry and pass by on the other side. We are called to stoop down and lift up the downtrodden. And let me quote here what one of Africa's greatest leaders said. And this is Madiba Nelson Mandela. And I quote, "Overcoming human suffering is never a gesture of charity. It is an act of justice. Poverty is not natural. It is man-made, and it can be overcome and eradicated by actions of human beings. And those human beings, to my mind, is the church." Christ expects of us to attend to the needs of others. And that's no option. It is not an option. Finally, friends, this is my invitation. Let us rise and go over on the other side. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this moment. And we thank you, God, that you can call us. Often at times we least expect you to call us. And we thank you that you can not only call us, but you call us to do things that often we don't even want to do. But we thank you that when we become obedient to your will, you sustain us. We give you thanks for this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.